This is the Mosh Pit Backstage podcast for punk, metal, and rock interviews and segments.
So Mark Jansen is a guitarist and harsh vocalist of the symphonic metal band Epica, which he formed back in 2002. They're touring Australia in March, and they're playing at Melbourne on the 20th. Mark, how are we?
I'm very fine, thank you.
Excellent.
How are you?
I'm really good. I'm very excited to talk to you. There's some stuff I want to talk to you a bit about, sort of me experiencing your music a little bit later, but let's first get into the tour. You have a lot going on in your music. There's a lot of vocals, obviously the guitars, drums, the bass, as well as some orchestral stuff. How do you get that all right when you're playing a live show?
First of all, the biggest difficulty is to get it right by our producer because our mixer, because they have to, first of all, find a format to put it all in. And then once this is recorded, for us it's an easy task easier to play this stuff, and our live mixer mixes it more or less like the album, but with a little different live touch. But all the big work is done already in the studio, and to give everything a place. And so for live, it's just as good as possible reproduction with, like I said, this live sauce on top of it.
Now, this is kind of an odd question, but I was sort of thinking about some of your music. There's a lot of different dynamics. You've got some very aggressive, loud songs, and then you've got some softer songs. But within all that, is there sort of any songs you have difficulty playing live, sort of pulling off, as you were saying, replicating it from the studio, from the production, onto the stage?
Yes. Especially on Requiem for the Indifferent, there were quite some songs that were very hard to reproduce live. And the reason for that was we wrote that album basically everybody on its own in our own home studios. We didn't really rehearse as a band before recording the album, so we recorded all the songs, and then afterwards we found out that some songs didn't really work live. So then the album after with the Quantum Enigma, we completely changed our way of working, and we started rehearsing every song like the good old days as a whole band, and until we really thought the songs were finished, until that moment we kept working. And the album really did benefit a lot from that, because every song on the Quantum Enigma we can also play live, and it really works live. So it's not only a matter of literally difficulty of playing it live, but sometimes songs work live and sometimes they don't. But you only find out if you play them a lot as a band, as a whole, already before entering the studio. And that way of working we continued also with the new album.
So speaking of the new album, I'm glad you brought that up. how is that progressing? At what stage is it in its development?
At the moment we're recording the strings, and right after the choirs will get recorded, and the brass. So we are getting into the final stage of the recordings, and drums, bass, guitars, pianos, everything has been recorded already. And then after the tour we will record the lead vocals of Simone and my grunts, and then it's already basically time to start the mixing process pretty soon.
Oh, very exciting. Now, in terms of the actual, I guess, how the album is, I don't know any better way to describe it, is there any sort of changes from the last album, The Continent Enigma? Is there, you proceeded in any new directions, emphasized any elements?
The biggest difference, I think, is on The Quantum Enigma, we already used real strings, but still samples for the brass. And now with the new album, we do everything everything we possibly can live. So also the brass section, we hired a brass section to play all the brass parts. And I think the album will also really benefit from that. Even though samples are live nowadays so good, but still, if there's real people playing the music, it makes still a big difference. And so I think that will be the biggest difference.
Now, I was never really a fan of sort of this phonic metal. I don't know if that's a term you like. But I was never a fan of that kind of stuff in general. But in listening to all the albums in preparation for this interview, I noticed a lot of development throughout the years, and I actually appreciated a lot of the later albums. How do you think you've sort of come in terms of songwriting over those years?
Yeah, I think we learned a lot, and we always made the music we really felt like making. So we never listened to what was popular at the time or what other bands were doing. But we developed in a different way than most bands around us when this female fronted scene was pretty big back in the days around 2000. Many of these bands became more commercial later on, and we always developed in a more metal direction. And many people at that time said, "You are crazy. You're ruining your own career." But now, when I look back, I think that was even though we did just what we felt like doing, and would have never done it different. But it was smart, actually, because that made us stand out, and that's why we're also still around and still growing. So I think at that point, people thought it was a stupid move, but it appeared to be a good one.
One of the things I learned about you while reading your bios is last year you had the first Epic Metal Fest, which is organised by you guys. And last year you also received the Boomer Export Award. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but which is a Dutch award given to the band with the most international success. I think that sort of speaks to what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. And even though I'm not a big fan of awards and these parties where awards get handed over to musicians, I tend to stay away far from these kind of parties. But still, it was an honor to get this award, because it proved indeed that at that point we were the biggest, most successful band from the Netherlands internationally. Heavier band. So yeah, like you said, that proves that we accomplished our goal, and but there's still so much more to do, and it doesn't end there.
Now, in terms of the way your band's set up, for those who I don't know, but when we play this interview they will know, because we'll be playing a song afterwards, you've got different dynamics. You've got a balance of the softer elements of music, definitely the harsher elements of heavy metal music, operatic vocals, softer sort of female vocals, the grunts, as you say. Is it ever a challenge to balance those out when you're writing a record?
It's always a challenge, that's for sure, but for some reason all the elements, they fall automatically on the right. It's hard to explain, but after all these years you found a way to make it naturally work. So it was, back in the days, it was more like a puzzle, a search, and now it naturally happens. So still sometimes we discuss, hey, might be better to have choir here instead of Simone singing, or maybe we should not use grunts here. So these little discussions still happen, but usually it's quite obvious where we gonna put what. And but sometimes it's even good to still experiment a bit, because it's always also good to go off the path and try and explore new things. And with every record, we also try that, and we sometimes try ideas that at first seem ridiculous, but then still work out. So that's also, we learned something, that we try out everything, even ridiculous ideas that seem ridiculous and later on appear to be a great idea. Because that's the way it works. You should never say that something doesn't work before trying it.
You've had a number of songs which are, I guess you might say, critical of organized religion. Why did you feel that this idea was important to express in the lyrics you wrote?
At this stage, we don't really burn our fingers to that topic anymore. We said everything we wanted to say. And the thing is, whatever you say, there's people getting pissed off. And because religions, that is a topic you can never write about without satisfying with satisfying everybody. So what I really, our message was, it's very good that everybody has that find peace in some religion, and that's a great thing, as long as everybody respects each other. As soon as there's some fundamentalism growing in a certain religion, and that can be any religion, then the problem start, and then there's no respect anymore. Then it's just wanting that everybody else also start believing that religion, because or else that person is a heretic. And this is something I cannot stand. You have to leave everybody free to believe whatever he or she wants without problems. And so that's basically the message. And even though that is something you think that everybody can only agree on, but even that is something that really pisses off some people, apparently. And I just stopped writing about religions, because what else can I add to that, what I said already? And now we write more about spiritual and scientific topics, which not so easily can piss off people.
I thought the writing about the, not directly about it, but in relation to writing about the discoveries of quantum science, I thought was incredibly fascinating.
Yeah, and I love that topic, and I love to read about it, and also when I can talk about it in interviews, and other people find it fascinating as well, because for example, in the quantum enigma, that main topic that you, when you observe something, that you influence it, and it is not possible to observe something without influencing what you observe. That's the whole fundamental thing of the universe. And when people start getting interested in these topics as well, but because we wrote songs about it, that's all we need.
Mark Jansen is guitarist and harsh vocalist of the symphonic metal band Epica. They're touring Australia in March, playing in Melbourne on the 20th. Mark, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks for listening to the Moshpit Backstage Podcast. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and Omni. To find out more about the show, go to www.syn.org.au/moshpit. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/moshpitonsin, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @moshpitsin. The regular Moshpit radio show broadcasts punk, rock and metal tunes and interviews every Thursday nights on Sin 9.7 on FM and digital radios. Listeners outside of Melbourne, Australia can stream Sin 9.7 online at www.syn.org.au. Thanks to Vintage Ruin for the music.
Hi, this is Tomato from Flash Gun Apocalypse.
Hi, I'm Enid from Girls Go.
I am Phoebe Pinnock from Heaven the Axe.
Hey, this is Gary Oldmead of the Misfits.
Hey, this is Kat Sproul from Horizon's Edge, and you're listening to The Mosh Pit on Sin FM.
Hi, this is Aina from Leopard.
Hi, I'm Virginia Lilly from the band Lily.
This is Raul from 1349.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Ali from Uberhead.
Hey everybody, this is Charlie Benante with Anthrax, and you are listening to the Mosh Pit on Sin.